I appreciate your prayers this morning. I have a lot to learn. I appreciate your all's prayers that the Lord will help me to learn what I need to learn and just to be faithful to Him. I appreciated the songs this morning. The one song that really struck my heart was Looking for Me. The Lord came looking for me, and I'm so thankful that He did, and so thankful that He searched me out and found me, and that I found Him. And then I was thinking of the other song that we sang, and I think it was 180 that kind of went with our Sunday school lesson this morning. And just wanted to read one verse of that. It says, "Yes, my failures He knows, and my sighs and my tears, and the depth of my bitterness or bitterest woes, by the deep consolation He brings from my fears, I am sure that my dear Savior knows." And I was just thinking about the Sunday school lesson and how we know that God sees, you know. He sees us. He sees us personally. And He knows. He knows every bit. And I just think of it in the sense that we don't always know. And God does know. And I feel like it's important for us to be able to go to the Lord and ask Him to reveal to us, to show us, to teach us about ourselves, and to be willing to say, "Lord, I know that I don't know everything about me, and I pray that You'll show me who I am and where I am and how I can grow and mature in You." Recently in Guthrie, we had a message that was called, or was about, the value of a thing. And then in Guthrie, one of the evening messages was value. What has value, and love being something that we place value upon. And so today, it's going to be a similar message in the value of a thing. What is valuable? You might say that money is valuable. You could say that your work or your ability to work is valuable because people are willing to pay you valuable money to do it. And so what else is valuable? Your car might be valuable. A house may be valuable. You can put a price upon it. You can say that it's worth so much. And sometimes a thing may be worth a little bit more than what it's actually worth just because you want it so badly. We might even say that there are things that are invaluable, that maybe you just can't really put a price on it, or at least you wouldn't want to. And your family might be something that you would call invaluable. You're not willing to put a price on it. You're not willing to say that it's worth this much and that's all. Or you would say that maybe love is invaluable. The ability to give love and the ability to receive love may be something that is an invaluable thing to you. You may say that your salvation is invaluable. You can't really put a price on it. What do you do when something is valuable to you? How do you treat that thing? You protect it. People value their money. They put it in a bank. It's got big vaults, big steel iron rooms that they want to save that money in to make sure that nobody will come and steal it. A person may lock their house because of the valuables that are inside. They don't want to make it easy for somebody to just go on inside and take whatever they want. You wouldn't put your valuables out in the street, right? You wouldn't put your life savings in a little bag and put life savings on it and put it out there in the street, right? Because it's valuable to you and you wouldn't want anyone to take it. Or you wouldn't want to have it come up missing. And so we have things that are valuable to us. How do we preserve it? How do we keep it? I was thinking of a situation where Jacob, Rebekah was valuable to him, right? And, or not Rebekah, it was Rachel. And so what did he do? He worked 7 years for her. And he didn't get her, and he worked seven more to get her. You know, valuable. She was valuable to him. He was willing to put forth his effort, his work, his labor to receive what was valuable to him. In Luke chapter 12, verse 39, "And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through." And so here it's saying that if he had known the thief was coming, he would have protected his valuables, right? And so the same should be true of us, in that we need to protect our valuables. So what is valuable to us? I should say, what is the most valuable thing to us? You know, we think about that, and a lot of times when somebody asks a question like that, you might think of what is the appropriate response to a question of that type, right? And really, in your heart, want that to be the actual response. But maybe it isn't always true. You ask multitudes of people what is the most valuable thing to them, and many people will say their life. Their life is the most valuable thing. A doctor, they treat life as the most precious thing that a person has or obtains or possesses. In Matthew chapter 10, we'll read verse 28. Jesus says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In this scripture, it reveals to us that your life isn't necessarily the most precious thing that you possess. There's something far more precious to us than even our life. He says that you can lose your life, and you shouldn't allow it to be as much of a concern to you as as losing your soul. You know, I think about people who their life is their most precious and most valuable asset or possession. And what do they do? What are they willing to do to preserve it? They'll go to great lengths to preserve their lives. You have some people who go, strict dietary rules as far as their life goes, and being able to sustain themselves, and they're willing to go through a lot of regimens to make their life healthy and sustainable, long lasting. They'll go many a years off of dietary situations, right? You have others who are willing to spend every dime they own, every bit of money they possess, to have, you know, one more year of life. You know, they'll give everything they possess to the doctors to do this, you know, surgery or whatever, experimental surgery that hasn't been done before, but we think it might work, and just anything. I'll do anything. Just give me a little more time, a little more life. I know people who really feel that way, that life is the most precious thing. And you think about what they're willing to do to sustain life. They'll go to great lengths. What's valuable to us? What is the most valuable thing to us? Let's read Luke 8 and 43. It says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." And so this is an example of that. That this lady, she put everything she had into it. Just to try to be healed of whatever the disease was that she had. Just to try to sustain life. So I ask us, what is most valuable to us? What do we consider to be the most valuable thing that we possess? I would have to say, as a result of the verse that we previously read, that it would have to be our soul. Yeah. Our soul. How valuable is our soul to us? What would you give in exchange for your soul? What would you trade for your soul? You know, the Lord has had to speak to me about this many different times. Well, I shouldn't say many times. One time in specific in my past, that He spoke to me about this subject, the value of a soul. How valuable is your soul to you? How precious is it to you? How far are you willing to go to sustain it, to protect it? What will you give for it? If you could redeem yourself and you could pay a price for your salvation, that you know if you were to, you know, put this number down or whatever it is, if you were able to do it, how much would you give? To know that you could be guaranteed heaven, how much would you give? 2 million? 3 million? Would you give 2 mites? You know, I think of the man that Jesus, he said, "Lord, what can I do to inherit kingdom?" And after the Lord had a little discussion with him, he finally said, "Okay, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me." And it said that he went away sorrowful. It was like, almost, the feeling of it was that he went away almost feeling like the price was too high. How valuable is your soul? I think of the lady that they were watching him give tithes into the bucket or whatever it was, and they saw a lady put in 2 mites. And the Lord says, "I tell you that she's put in more in there than any of those who put in big bags of money." And they were astounded. How could that be true? He says, "They all gave of their plenty or of their abundance, but she gave everything she had because of her great need." And so I ask again, what will we give in exchange for our soul? How valuable is it to us? Are we willing to give all? Matthew 16 and 26. Will we tell the Lord the price is too high? That's too much for the deliverance of our souls? How valuable is our soul to us? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall we give? Are we prepared to give all? Later on in this same chapter, or just before it actually, in verse 24 it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Are we willing to give all to lose our life for our soul? What will we give in exchange for our souls? You know, and this verse was really the verse that struck me in this particular message. What will you give in exchange for your soul? I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about some of the things that people might give or trade for their souls. What will you take in exchange for your soul? The opportunity to have an adulterous relationship? Will you take that for your soul? Will you refuse instruction by the Word of God for your soul? In Proverbs 15:32, it says, "He that refuses instruction despises his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." Do we value our soul? Are we willing to receive instruction from God's Word about ourselves and about our condition and about where we stand according to His Word as He reveals Himself to us? He reveals His character, what is good and right and perfect and just. When He reveals that to us, are we willing to receive instruction? Is our sin more valuable to us than our soul? Are you willing to hold on to those sins rather than to have your soul delivered? The lust of your eyes. I think it was in Ecclesiastes where Solomon said that he didn't withhold anything from him that he saw. He didn't withhold anything from himself. The pride of life. Are you willing to trade your soul for the limelight? To be famous? To have everyone love you and think highly of you? Is that the price that you want to put on your soul? If I set a big pile of money right here and told you could have it for the price of your soul, would that be a temptation to you at all? Would you be willing to give your soul for such a thing as that? A pile of money. I think of that child that knows to steal is wrong and sees that candy bar and desires that candy bar. And he goes ahead and takes it, knowing that it's wrong to do. Will you trade your soul for a candy bar? I mean, it sounds frivolous, it sounds stupid, but reality is that really is what we're doing. When we choose something as small as that, and we decide to do something that we know to be wrong, that we know to be contrary to the will of God, and we go on ahead and do it, that's a direct rebellion against God. And that's at the cost of our soul. I think about situations of... And this is one situation that I had to deal with, really, was the right to dress like you want. Is that the price you're willing to put on your soul? Does it mean that much to you? And I had to ask myself that. Does it mean that much to me? Do I really care? I mean, is it a point of stance that, you know what, this is it, I'm not going there, this is too far? Does it really mean that much to me? What am I willing to give for my soul? The idea really is that a lot of times it's those smallest things that we hold on to that we're trading our soul for. We're trading our relationship with God for it. I was thinking and along these lines too of, are you willing to hold on to bitterness for your soul? Unforgiveness for your soul? Whatever that hurt was that somebody did against you, is it worth your soul? How about your pride? Is it worth your soul? I think of people who don't want to be made fun of. You know, we look ridiculous to the world a lot of times. In the way we conduct ourselves and how we live, it seems ridiculous to them. Is our pride going to cause us to give up our soul? Will you put your soul in danger for fun? For entertainment? Do we protect our soul? Do we put barriers up for our soul to protect it from possible dangers or maybe imminent dangers? You know, like we said before, do you put your valuables in the street? Do you put them unprotected? How do we protect our soul? How do we guard against the enemy's attacks? Sometimes we put things in place that are just protections for ourselves and for others. I was thinking about a scripture where Paul says that he wouldn't eat meat if it was going to cause his brother to offend. How valuable are these things to us? Where is your treasure? Is your treasure in your social status? Is your treasure in your assets? What you possess? The kind of car you drive? The kind of house you live in? Is that your treasure? The way you look to other people, is that your treasure? In Matthew 6:21 it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, I think about when you value something the most, you make it your primary goal almost. Yeah. Your whole point for living. You know, that, like I said, that person whose life is the most valuable thing to them, that is their focus of keeping life, sustaining life. Just a few more minutes, just a little more time. Do we feel that way about our soul? You know, if I put the question out here, what are we willing to give for our souls? Are you willing to give all for your soul? I'm sure the unanimous statement would be, of course, absolutely. But then I think about the rich young ruler who, when the Lord put something on him, put his finger on something, what did he do? He recoiled back and thought, well, that's too much, you know? What are we doing when we say, Lord, I'm willing to give all, and then he puts his finger on something? Are we going to recoil back? Or are we going to draw near to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I accept it. I receive it. Give me grace to walk in it. I was thinking, how valuable is a soul? Now, we've talked about our soul and how valuable our soul is to us, how valuable is someone else's soul to you? Is their soul valuable? We were doing a little fundraiser to try to earn money for the Mexico trip, and we were selling some baked goods and stuff, and somebody came in there and he was looking at, you know, what we had to sell and was interested in it and was wondering, you know, what it was for and so forth. And we told him, well, this is for presents for the children in Mexico. And he's like, oh, really? Okay. What about America? He says. And I was thinking about that, and it's like, I've heard that before. It's not the first time I've been hit with that. And what's the value of a soul? Is it my soul, your neighbor's soul, or the soul across the world? Somebody that we don't even know? Is it really an us against them situation with us? Or is it just all souls? There's a lot of lost souls out there. One of the things that I told him, I said, yes, absolutely. The children in America definitely need things as well. And present them to us, and we'll do what we can to help them. But the thing about it is, you can go to Mexico and you don't have to look very far to find a child in need or a family in need. Or you can go to Africa and there's swarms of children running around without parents. You don't have to look very far. And so we do what we can for souls. What's the value of a soul? How valuable is their soul to us? You know, I think about it and I say, to what lengths are you willing to go for their soul? We talked about our own. How far will you go for the soul of others? Will you give your life for it? Will you give your life to the Lord for souls? You know, it's one thing to give your life to the Lord for salvation, and all of us, I hope, have done that and should do that. But there's something else to give the Lord to. And that's your life for the kingdom. Are we willing to give our lives for souls? You know, and I think about it too, is how far are you willing to go for a soul? Like I mentioned earlier, Paul said, I won't even eat meat. Meat's fine to eat. You can eat as much meat as you want to. You can eat all meat if you want. Doesn't say anything about it in Scripture that you can't eat meat. But he says, you know what? If it's going to cause my brother to stumble, and he's going to be offended by it, or he's going to... Maybe it's going to cause him to sin. Then I'd just soon not eat meat for his sake. How far are we willing to go for a soul? What are you willing to do to keep from being a stumbling block to somebody else? Or to be an obstacle for them? Are you willing to change some of your behaviors or some of your lifestyles, even though they may be legitimate? Things that you can do. But yet it's going to cause someone else to stumble or fall or possibly lose out. Is it willing to you? Are you willing to adjust yourself for the sake of a soul? You know, I was, like I said, the Lord had to really... He brought this alive to me one day, or one evening, I should say. I was sitting on a prison yard, wanting to go home. Felt like I had a chance to go home, and it was never certain or for sure or anything like that until I actually walked out. But anyways, I told the Lord I wanted to serve Him, and I just wanted to live for Him, and that was what I wanted. And He made it clear to me that, yes, absolutely, you can do that. And you can do it here. And He just really brought it all to home to me. Is it about souls? Because there's souls right here. And I had to say, yes, Lord. It's about souls. And it can be here. And then you want to start thinking about numbers, like, well, you know, how many souls are we talking, right? And, you know, I think about Abraham's prayer, and he says, Lord, will you destroy the city over 50 righteous in there? And he kept going down. He kept whittling the Lord down till I think he got to 10. And he felt satisfied that surely there must be 10 in there. I'm sure that maybe Abraham thought that he prayed through and saved the city by getting God down to 10. But unfortunately, there wasn't 10. But I had to, the Lord whittled me down. He said, will you do it for one soul? Will you stay here and live here and serve me and function in the body of Christ as I see fit to use you? Will you do it for one soul? And I say, I mean, it was a situation of clarity for me. It was intense. Because I didn't want to say yes. But what do you do? You know, you've given yourself to the Lord. You've said that you're His. You've been bought with a price. You don't deserve what you got. It's by grace that you're saved. And so it was a point of consecration. And saying, okay, Lord, yes. For one soul, I'll stay. And the situation, when you do that, it feels like that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, you feel like you consecrate to something like that, that the Lord is going to make you hold to it. And so that's why it's hard, because you don't feel like you're going to consecrate to it and the Lord's going to say, okay, I just wanted to see, and go on ahead and go out, you know? I think about Abraham's situation when he's about to slay his son. And he wants to obey the Lord, but I know he doesn't want to kill his son. But he consecrated to it. He gave himself to it. And he was willing to go through with what the Lord had asked him to do. And in Hebrews, I'm thankful that it says it. He believed that God could raise him from the dead if it was necessary to fulfill his promise. How valuable is a soul to us? How valuable is our soul? How valuable is the soul of others? You know, we talked about earlier, and what would you give if you could purchase your soul? If you can just gather up every little item that you possess, every little possible thing that you own, and put it all together and give it to God, and it would settle the price. Would you do it? And I think about the scriptures in the Old Testament, how people sometimes had to sell themselves into slavery. And sometimes they were sold into slavery unwillingly, but because they owed a debt beyond what they were able to pay, they had to go into slavery or captivity or whatever. I guess it would be more slavery, until they could pay the debt. And the scriptures identifies us in that way, is that we had a debt that we owed. And it was a debt that we could not pay. And so we became a slave. We became a slave to sin. We became a slave to the enemy, the devil. And we could not free ourselves. We didn't have the money or the means to deliver ourselves. And you can't pay for your soul right now. But thank God the Lord can. He purchased the price for our souls. He is our kinsman redeemer who redeems us by the blood of the Lamb. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross purchased our redemption so that we could be delivered, so that we could be saved. And so we don't really have to pay for the redemption of our souls. But you know, the Lord still requires us to consecrate every bit of ourselves, every bit of what we have. You know, I was thinking about it before or during the service. You know, what it would be like if I owed a debt. Say I owed $1 million and you were willing to redeem me. And I let you pay the whole debt of $1 million and I had $500,000 laying on the side. I just didn't have enough to pay it all. And I let you pay it all. I thought of that in the sense that Jesus is going to pay all of our debt. But that doesn't mean that we get to keep all our little stuff, you know. We got to give all too in our redemption. I was thinking of Nehemiah and how when he went and he was restoring the city and they were building the walls and he was trying to get things organized and set up, they bought back people who were sold into slavery. They bought them back, redeemed them, set all the bills or whatever correct. And then he comes back later only to find that they just resold these people back into slavery. And it angered him. He couldn't believe it. How could you do this? How can you sit there and just sell yourself back? And I thought about that with regards to our souls. The Lord has redeemed us. He's delivered us from the penalty of our sin. He's cleansed us and washed us and purified us and set us anew. And are we going to just throw it away and sell ourselves back into slavery, into bondage to sin over some of these frivolous things that we talked about? And they really are frivolous when it comes to measuring it to your soul. Will we just throw it all away for something small? I just pray that the Lord will help us to value our souls and to value the souls of others, because there's nothing more precious. I appreciate your time.